for same concept design. Be getting more sites as the mini projects. And that's with the MIT team.
Well, that's not a fun thing.
Yeah.
Good evening. Thank you for having us. I'm Patrick Kumar. I represent MIG, Landscape Architect and Urban Designer. And we presented this project previously to this committee last year, and we presented our urban design framework. And we want to take this opportunity to give you a small recap of the process thus far, and also give you an update of where our 10% design lands right now. Quick recap, you're familiar with the project area. This is our project extends from the western edge of Frontage Road all the way up to the end of the park, and also encapsulates some portions of the Bay Trail that run alongside the street. We started off with a number of project goals that included equitable access, safety and comfort, and multimodal improvements, and also placemaking and habitat creation. And we started the project in April 2024, went through a number of reviews and processes. We met with you last time to review the urban design framework. And at this time, we want to review the 10% design and get this committee's recommendations and approval. Our community engagement process started off with a multilingual online and in-person survey that lasted 5 months. It also allowed us to reach a diversity of residents and park users across the city of Emeryville, and it was multilingual. We started out the process with meeting a number of stakeholders. We met with city departments and agencies, a number of local businesses, and also resident neighborhood groups. The survey was heavily promoted in person at schools, parks, retail businesses. We conducted a number of intercept surveys. We met people where they live and work, and had a number of in-person surveys completed. We also participated in a number of pop-up tabling events, including being presented at the Emeryville Film Festival, and also working with all classes within within the Emory High School to publicize the survey. After we met with this committee, we also presented the urban design framework to the Watergate community at an open house in September, and followed up with a broader community open house posted at Emeryville Police Department in October 2025. Quick recap, the emphasis from the community has always been to ensure comfort, safety, and access for all. Other criteria that were important were enhancing streetscape character, providing a range of public amenities, and ensuring that the process is equitable. In addition to that, other feedback from the community was also considered and incorporated into the urban design framework and the in-person design. With the improvements, what we heard from the community was there is a desire to walk more, bike more, drive less, and also take more public transport. This was the urban design framework that we presented last time, where we left off. And a few things to recap here. Our primary goal begins with making sure that the road is safe and accessible for all pedestrians, particularly all users, particularly vulnerable pedestrians crossing the street. The first step in that was to look at speed reductions and a graduated speed reduction that starts from going from 25 miles per hour to 20 to 15 miles per hour in the sections that front the marina and the park. There are existing crosswalks. We are also introducing a number of new crosswalks. And this is a representation of the existing condition in one part of Powell and a representation of what we're proposing. Safe crossings, high visibility crosswalks with RRFPs, median refuge islands, and bulb outs that reduce the amount of time pedestrians have to spend within the street travel bay has been a design driver. We are also narrowing the street to the required width in all sections. And we're also creating a continuous protected two-way bike lane along one side, again, minimizing the potential conflict between vehicles, both driving and parked with the bicyclists. With that, we'd like to talk to you about our 10% design. We are following the same format as the urban design framework. We're studying the street as five segments, starting with segment A at frontage, going all the way up to segment E, which is the section of street within the park. The proposed speed limits are listed there, and we can talk more as we go through the segments. Another additional information, as we walk through these segments, there is existing on-street parking within segment B. And that existing on-street parking has been reconfigured, but the total number of stalls remain the same. So this is segment A. There are three lanes that are eastbound, two lanes westbound. There is a existing median that varies in width and accommodates the turn lane. And there are two unprotected bike lanes on either side of the street, and the sidewalk on the north side, the bay trail on the south side, and in this segment, also fronting the McLaughlin Bay Park. A closer look at the existing conditions. There are two signalized intersections here, and the current speed is about 30 miles per hour, and posted speed. There's a planted median, the bay trail on the south, sidewalk to the north. We have a gas station and Hilton. We're also treating the MTA project as a existing condition where the intersection improvements are targeted with improving connectivity to the shared use Bay Trail, both heading east as well as heading north. The proposed improvements within the section start with we are not changing the configuration of the lanes. All the travel lanes are in place. We are narrowing these lanes to be 11 feet wide. We are introducing a two-way protected cycle track all along the south edge. All driveways meeting the street will have a stop sign, except for the ones that are signalized, will have a stop sign and a stop bar. The signal at Frontage Road is augmented with a leaning pedestrian interval with a lit no turn on red. So there is additional protection for the people who are using the Bay Trail and crossing the street at that intersection. All along the Bay Trail, based on the community feedback that we got, there was a desire to have more pedestrian lighting. And this is a question being presented to the committee here. The two light pole images that you're seeing, one is the one to the right is the standard that's used in the park, and the one to the left is the more decorative standard that's used within the streets. So we'd like the committee's opinion on which light pole they would like utilized within this section, segment of Powell Street, or along the length of Powell Street.
So if you can remember that, that'll be an action at the very end to pick which one you like the most.
We have one more.
Okay.
As we move through this segment, you will notice some of these elements, some of these improvements repeated. And one of them, starting with the access road intersection, is crosswalk and intersection improvements. Segment B, this is our longest segment. It starts from Access Road, goes all the way up to Trader Vic's and Admiral Drive. It's one way each way unprotected bike lanes and also on street parking on either side, with a median that changes dimensions as we go along the length of the street. Owing to the length of the street, we'll sort of split this into three segments, starting from the very east as we discuss the details of the 10% design. The first segment is looking at the section of the street in front of the Towers parking garage, Randy's Market, which also has an existing bus stop for the Emery go-around. And the southern edge of the street is again fronting the McLaughlin East Shore Bay Park and ends at the fire station. There is an existing planted median, sidewalk to the north, Bay Trail along the south edge. The proposed condition continues the two-way protected cycle track along the southern edge. The existing Bay Trail remains undisturbed for the most part and improved where it's meeting existing crosswalks to create accessible curb ramps and accessible crossing conditions. Lights continue along the stretch, and these intersections, which are not signalized, are going to receive NRRFB, and this would be a uniform feature at all crosswalks on Powell. And another uniform feature again on perpendicular intersections and driveways is the stop bar and stop sign. We'll also notice the wherever possible, the medians will have a refuge island, and the bulb outs, in addition to providing a refuge for pedestrians, also will be used for stormwater treatment at certain locations along the street. The parking has been reconfigured. All the parking that was existing on the north and south of the street has been reconfigured to diagonal parking on the north side of the street, with the addition of on-street, with the addition of accessible parking stalls calculated per block. The next portion of segment B2B is the segment in front of the police and fire station. There is a sidewalk that exists along the police and fire station, and the Bay Trail kind of loops around and goes behind the police and fire station to again emerge and join back along the street. This segment was carefully considered with access and movement of traffic between the from the fire station in and out, as well as the police station and the police parking lot. The little jog that you see within the bike lane is in order to allow the police cars to pull up further beyond the bike lane to have the most amount of visibility when they're making a turn into the street. Portion of the median in front of the police station and the fire station is minimized, again, in order to allow maximum flexibility with their movements during an emergency. And you will also notice there are parking stalls along the southern edge that are police business-only parking stall that are preserved, and a few others that are added along the northern edge of the street. Further to the west, adjacent to Commodore Street, there is a bus island and shelter and a bike share station that is placed forward of the bike lanes.
Is that the same location at the bike share station right now?
Plus or minus. This is an illustration of the same segment to indicate that we are working with. We presented these conditions and these studies to the police and fire department in order to verify that they're comfortable with the configurations and turning moments that we're showing. And similar turning moments have been executed in other parts of the street, and they help inform the geometry that we're seeing in all segments of the street. This is the last segment of segment B. This is leading up to Anchor Drive and the Trader Vic's parking lot, at which point the street starts to narrow and lead towards the Emery Cove segment. You'll also notice the edge of the rock revetment, which is the high point of our waterfront, really, is closer to the edge. It starts to limit how much of the streetscape improvements we can kind of push towards the water's edge. Improvements in this segment echo what's happening in the previous segments. The two-way bike lane is continued with a protected buffer. Protected buffer also has flexible post bollards. Again, the light poles continue along the Bay Trail, and the planted medians and the planted bulbouts are providing additional median refuge, but also used for stormwater treatment. This is our most constrained segment. This is segment C, and this runs along the length of the Emery Cove. The existing condition is one lane each way, and bicyclists are sharing the street with vehicles. The existing condition of the Bay Trail and the planter do not allow us to continue the two-way cycle track that we have in the previous segment without modifying the existing curb. So in this particular segment, the solution to extend the two-way bike lane was to push the curb out, reduce the travel lanes to 11 feet each, and provide a planted buffer between a raised bike lane and the street. This is the configuration that we will see within this segment. And a closer look at the existing conditions, Emery Cove Marina Playground. Current speeds are 25 miles per hour within this segment. The proposed condition indicates the point at which the street starts to narrow, which is at Davenport Playground, is doing two things. One is there is a ramp that allows bikes to go to sidewalk level or the Bay Trail level, and the buffer, which was painted and had bollards, is now a planted buffer. And this condition continues all the way up to the Royal Coffee and a little bit beyond, at which point the cycle track runs down again to the street grid. The speed, and this is also a point of speed transition. The 20 mile per hour reduction is now 15 miles per hour just before one hits Davenport Playground. And that 15 miles per hour speed limit continues all the way up to the end of the park. There is a second bus island and shelter. Currently, there exists a sign for the bus stop. So the proposal includes a bus shelter and island to formalize the bus stop. This segment transitions a couple of large parking lots that provide access to both Hong Kong East and also the Safe Harbor parking lot and the boat launch. This is the primary location where boats with trailers are going to launch their boats. The street section is similar to the previous segment. It's one lane each way with bicyclists sharing the road with cars. Existing conditions, again, there are a number of driveways fronting the segment of this section of the street. And the speed currently is 15 miles per hour just within this segment. So we maintain the 15 miles per hour speed within the segment and continuing the two-way bike lane. In this segment, owing to the limited amount of width that we have, the buffer between the street and the two-way cycle track is a raised concrete curb. And that begins at the point where the cycle track comes down to street grade. on the east side and then continues all the way into the next segment. This segment has one crosswalk, which is an existing, it's the existing location of the park gate. And it's also an important point at which people cross to connect different parts of the Bay Trail to the north and the south. And a crosswalk, directed crosswalk, has been introduced. One feature to note is this is the segment at which the Bay Trail does not continue to follow the road. It diverges and follows the edge of the water. And that is the condition for this segment and the next segment. This is the last segment of the street, and the street section again is similar, 13 to 14 foot travel lanes each way with planted berms on either side and bikes sharing the street with cars. Again, a closer look at the street. There are a number of parking lots and parking lot driveways within the park segment, and the majority of the park spaces are to the planned south. The proposed configuration of the street continues the condition that occurs in the previous segment. There is a two-way cycle track along the southern edge, separated from the gravel ways by a raised 2-foot concrete curb. Existing driveways are clearly indicated with bike crosswalks, and this is the condition along the street. There are three existing crosswalks that serve as important connections to connect people walking from one side of the Bay Trail to the other side of the Bay Trail. So these crosswalks have been enhanced with high visibility markings and RFPs. And stop signs and stop bars are added at all the driveway intersections. As towards the end of the street where the bike lane terminates, we're creating a bike parking and bike lane terminus, a point at which bikers can park their bikes and access the largest portion of the park. Or choose to turn around and return on the bike lane to get back on the trail. And that is an overview of a 10% design in all segments. I also wanted to hand it back to Ryan to talk about that.
Yeah, so overall, this is kind of our rough order of magnitude on the cost estimates for each segment. So you can see kind of where we're at with this. Has a lot of contingencies in this, and some of the soft costs also included in these dollar amounts. So this has the, you know, design costs, the construction management costs included with the construction costs. So that's why you see some big numbers here. But $2.6 million for segment A, and that's the first portion. This includes all the lighting, all the green infrastructure, and all that. $10.1 million for that segment B section, $4.1 for segment C. This is where it starts to raise up gets combined with the sidewalk area. Segment D out by Hong Kong East Ocean, where it splits off from Hong Kong East Ocean, continues to Powell, and then $2.7 million to take it out around the Marina turnaround. What we think is segment A and B is the buildable portion that we can do with a combination of the sustainable streetscapes yearly budget, and a combination of that with a large regional grant. We would target like a Bay Trail Improvement Program grant or something that ACTC puts out or MTC puts out that is, you know, something with green infrastructure or bike improvement type grants or something that we can target here, that this could maybe score well with that. The segment C, D, and E is something that would take a much larger grant to try to fund, and try to be a combination of it all, and maybe it's get a grant here on the first part and maybe last dollar in funding to try to get the other amounts over there. But that would be the plan on that. So yeah. That's where we're at with that. And this is our action item tonight, is to take our 10% design concept and have the TSC recommend to move our 10% design concept to City Council for approval. And then also we want you to look at our two light types. One is the Lumec pole, which you see all around town. It's only on the, mainly on the west side of, or sorry, the east side of the city, east of I-80. And this would be the first time that we bring it truly west of I-80. There's a little bit on Frontage Road, but this would take it along Powell and kind of into the marina area. Or we continue on with this other pole on the right, which this is an existing pole type that we have in the marina today. It's more of a modern take on some of the old marina lighting that we had. And it's the cost difference. Karthik, did you get costs on it? I do believe the one on the right is a little bit cheaper than the other one, yeah. But it's, you know, aesthetically, you know, it's what we're looking at is right now is what we want to see, what preference you have there.
I don't want to disrupt us sitting here, but there is a larger print that we couldn't fit within the room. If you want to look at that,
well, thank you. Maybe there's one question to start off. So the motion when we move this 10% design to council for approval, are we then looking for additional funding to move it past that? What's the, assuming we agree with that, what would be the next step?
That policy approval of the design is what I think gives us the permission to go and search for grants for the maybe for what's available. It could be for design and construction, or it could be for design only to take us from 10 to 100%. Kind of similar to the path that we've seen with the 40th Street project.
Okay, so it's probably in the absence of a large grant, or we wouldn't do design on our own necessarily. We're not looking to, at this point, that's the strategy would be to go out and
yeah, design for segments A and B would be multi-million dollar.
Okay.
And so that would be a significant lift for us as a city.
Okay.
Design alone.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. Yeah. Right now, it's an ATP study project. And as we update our CIP in this year, it will be identified as its own project in the CIP.
Yeah. Okay. That's another point.
Yeah.
And how much of the of a normal project is design? I guess how much is construction? How much is everything else?
So
ridiculous.
Things are shifting these, but yeah, it's a general rule of thumb, like 20%, 20-25% for the design of construction dollars. So.
All right, one more. Any questions?
Just one question. The original concept that we were presented with, that was then kind of went out into the community and feedback was received, and I guess it incorporated where appropriate. Is there anything in this 10%? Obviously the 10% is more detailed than the original concept, but was anything changed from the original concept? Are we still kind of moving in the same direction? Were there any changes to highlight?
I would say the eastbound direction. We got feedback from the community around concerns for queuing at Frontage Road. We had the ability to still, I think, maintain our high-level project goals around the two-way cycle track and the crossing improvements, so we maintained the number of eastbound lanes as a result.
Okay.
The original concept had one less lane.
One other question. Did the original concept have the perpendicular parking or the diagonal parking starting before the Randy's Market? I thought it didn't start until you actually hit like the Watergate community.
It did. We always considered that block too, because there is existing parking on the south side of the street that's considered two-hour parking. So in order to efficiently offset any loss of parking on the south side, on the north side, we had to consider that block right from the beginning. So over time, it has just been refined to exclude certain areas for fire and also add accessible parking.
Who's parking there? Like what? Or I guess what is that? Because you're basically on outside of a parking garage, right? Like I guess who's the audience for that parking?
The people who are currently parking on the south side.
Got it.
Okay. That you're displacing.
Or keeping their vehicles there.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. And then could you explain just one more thing? The dedicated police parking, was there police parking on the south side that I missed?
Yeah, that's currently in the existing condition. There's some signed police parking on the south side.
But not on the street, though. It's within their lot, or
it's on the street, actually. Yeah, on the south curb.
Oh, sorry, but in the proposed bill, is all the police parking moving? Like, if I'm visiting the police for whatever reason, I can't get into their lot. I would park across the street. Is that right?
So the existing police parking is right here.
So when you say police parking, this is police department staff.
No, this is for visitors.
I see. It's parallel. Okay, it's parallel. So we're retaining a few parallel spots for people who are visiting the police department.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
And in order to keep them whole on the existing number of signed spots that they currently have curbside, we're also adding 4 on the north side of the street.
Dedicated police parking.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
I don't remember if I had any other questions. Thought, there was some discussion at the open houses around the diagonal parking and concerns around safety and, people pulling out their street. One of the things I was thinking about is, some kind of mirror or something, to increase visibility. I assume that's something that it would be a much further down the road discussion of what exactly that would look like. Is that
a possible solution?
Is that a good solution for that?
The likely answer is unnecessary solution as well. I think just as you heard from the officer Hintergard about what's happened with Hollis is cars are slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the work. We expect cars to significantly slow down as a result of this new design. And that once cars are going slower, then it's less of an issue to interact with diagonal parking.
Okay, sounds good. If no other questions, let's move to public comment. Any public comment in the room? Go for it, Brooks. 2 minutes.
I just to address the transit aspects of this. I don't know. I think it's great that the upgrades to the bus stops are great. It's great to have bus shelters along here. Seth was just saying that this is going to significantly reduce car speeds. But from what I can tell, because transit is in the same lanes, and it's even, I don't see a place except for one of the stops where transit can pull out of the travel lane. It's also going to significantly reduce travel speeds for transit vehicles as well, I assume, because we don't have a separate lane, obviously, here for transit. So I just want to call attention to that, I mean, especially for people who, who live over here and are relying on transit, this will slow down. And for those who are on a route, who are going out to the marina and then coming back, this will significantly slow down travel times, I would assume, for transit riders. And because the current bus stops, you can pull out of the travel lane, the operators can pull the bus out of the travel lane, whereas here you are sort of stopping and picking up passengers in the travel lane. That seems, in some ways, it feels like we're downgrading the transit experience, the transit performance here a bit. I mean, I know we're upgrading the bus stops, but I don't know. I don't have a firm conclusion around that, but it does make me, from a transit perspective, it makes me a little bit uneasy, especially since one of the goals is to improve transit ridership in this corridor. So I just wanted to share that. And there's one stop where the first stop, I think in front of Watergate, you know, that you can't, there's a separate pullout there for the transit vehicles, but it is shared with casual carpool. I don't know, we've talked about that in the existing scenario as well. I don't know whether staff has observed conflicts with that or not, and maybe I'm just imagining possibilities that probably won't happen, but it does seem like if there's casual carpool plugged in there, it's going to be hard for the bus to get in to the stop. I don't know how long casual carpool, you know, how long they usually wait there, but it seems like there's a potential for conflict. And I don't know. I know parking is a really important part of all of this, but it seems like why not just make like one or two parking spaces, like casual carpool, instead of putting it in the bus stop lane. Like, you know. Anyway, that's just a couple thoughts. Not very well thought out, so sorry.
So any other public comment in the room? No, any other comment cards? Well, maybe I can just clarify. So the setting aside casual carpool for a second, on the other, you go back to the other where bus stops would, where the go around specifically would pick up. I mean, my understanding is similar to what we did at Hollis. The fact that the bus doesn't have to pull into a separate space and then importantly pull back out into the travel lane speeds up boarding for the bus, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And overall, you know,
you get more space.
What just on speeds in general, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, please.
This is not a high volume corridor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have the effect of congestion as you do on Hollis, right? And its impact on speeds as much. It's more the geometry keeping people at a normal and regular speed and making it very uncomfortable to go at very high speeds. It's mm-hmm. unlikely that your transit vehicles fall in that category of driver. Like, they're going to be operating at a normal speed anyway. All this design is doing is making sure everybody else does as well. So then you combine that with your bus islands and reducing your alighting and, you know, like your boarding and deboarding times. We expect either you'll say it'll be a wash, simply more comfortable, or possibly some saving. But that's a engineering judgment at this point. We're only at 10%. Right?
I think the just wanted to add that the, this is only Emory go around. It's another bus service.
Right.
So based on the volume to Mama's point, I think this makes sense. And all along the length of the street, we're not changing the number of travel lanes. So the number of travel lanes was one. It just was a very not a greatly designed width. Yeah, that kept varying along the length of the street. So sort of defining the street is going to help with speeds as well as we go through. And the other intersection, again, the portions that you see forward of the bus stop are striping. So there is an ability for the casual carpool or the bus to live in the same location, but it's also possible, as you're suggesting, to place the casual carpool within the diagonal parking spot. Both conditions are possible.
But just to clarify,
yeah.
Regarding the bus pickup location, the vehicle will fully block a lane of traffic while it drops off or picks up people. So if there's somebody, yeah, I could be there are people leaving the Watergate complex, I assume, right? And then we're telling them you're going to be stuck behind a bus while it's, you know, doing what it needs to do before it can continue, so they can't go around it in any way, shape, or form. I think that concept probably works better here than I think it's going to work on Hollis, honestly, because I know we are blocking a single lane on Hollis for this similar concept. But I also do think that the same argument about generally low volumes here would also support the ability for a bus to be able to pull in somewhere without obstructing traffic and allow people to drop off or pick up people, and then again, and then re-merge the traffic with no concern or inconvenience to anybody else, because it is relatively low volume, right? It's not having difficulty merging with traffic again. So I'm kind of curious to hear the staff thoughts on that concept or the feasibility of, instead of having that enormous bike or bus pad that then forces the bus to fully block a lane of traffic, why is there any reason why we can't simply have a standard pull in to kind of reduce frustrated drivers? That, because I think people are not really prepared for the concept. Like, drivers do not like being stuck behind a bus. Like, that's a, they like to be able to go around. So might work with if you had two lanes to work with, but I see a lot of problems when there's a single lane and we're saying now it's a bottleneck. I don't think we're really prepared for what's going to happen on Hollis with that, but I'm trying to head off something similar here.
To take into consideration, so the alternative scenario, imagine now the bus pulling into the footprint of what is the bus island. That then begs the question, where do people now wait for the bus to board? And then you have an ADA ramp deploying from a bus, right? That extends anywhere from 5 to 8 feet outside of the bus. So now you're blocking the two-way cycle track.
I see. So there's design constrictions here.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, just to add, I mean, you know, I'm going to go around. No, you know, it's pretty snow pays fares. So a bus could only be stopped for 20 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that people from Watergate might be upset about having to wait 20 seconds, but
well, so that's
the part of the, what's that?
Loading bikes or
but,
accessibility.
But the wheelchair. There are the people in the bus then don't have to wait. So I think we're, you know, my priority is to make it easier for people who are not driving, you know, to get around the city. This is one that will mean making it a little bit more frustrating for people in a car sometimes, but that's, to me, that's a okay trade-off. But I hear what you're saying, that people might be upset.
Yeah, I think the question I'm raising is, like, are we managing the oftentimes it's, you bring up the convenience for one modality, you know, things drop for the another, right? And I think what I'm asking us to think about is, like, sometimes there's a way to minimize the downsides, minimize the trade-offs, you know, through good design. It doesn't, you know, the problems Mohammed just highlighted where, okay, well, you know, unlike Hollis, right, we don't have a bike lane, right? So you have the bike lane where, you know, would people wait across from the bike lane and then kind of cross over to the bus when it's safe, you know? So that's kind of, you know, that's less convenient than what they're used to. But then on the other hand, you're not, you know, stopping the eastbound flow of traffic entirely. Maybe the bus pickups are infrequent enough and brief enough that this trade-off, as we're describing it, is not particularly acute. So I was just asking us to kind of think if there's any ideas that come to mind. That's great. But obviously, if there's only problems that come to mind, then that's, you know, it might not be physically possible to work in a no trade-off version in this design. So I'm just bringing that up for discussion.
Appreciate that, as always. Any other comments on the design? I think we can talk about the lights at the end.
No, that's it. I think it's overall, it's you know, on net, it's a big improvement. It's a very nice. It represents a significant improvement in the city. I think cars will be, they'll be driving slower. I like how that the lanes narrow. I actually find myself when I was driving to UPS today, and I found myself going with the flow of traffic, which was quite fast. You know, I won't say the number, but it was faster than whatever was posted as the speed limit. But it's because the lanes are so wide that their cars naturally feel safe going at that speed. So I think narrowing things makes these crosswalks feasible. The crosswalks otherwise are, you get the San Pablo phenomenon, right? Where cars feel safe going 50 miles an hour and no one feels safe stepping into a crosswalk. And cars don't want to stop when they're going 50 miles an hour. So I think with crosswalks, or with the, you kind of gain a lot with the diminished vehicle speed overall. So I like it. I'm comfortable sending it to the council.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, really good work. I was at one of the open house sessions, and you guys did a good job. So appreciate that. And I think this is consistent with what we discussed in the 5%. If I had any other comments or questions. No, I think that that all sounds good. So maybe we can discuss the light poles, that most important item. Any burning thoughts on light pole aesthetics?
Is it, I assume it's the same brightness and color temperature?
Yes.
Okay.
Output should be more or less the same.
Are there any impacts and I guess general consideration on light pollution? I know this is a bird sanctuary, you know, just south of this as well.
Yeah, we would do a new lighting study before we finalize on this to all things considered and make sure there's not, you know, dark skies at night too. There's some considerations on that in the marine areas.
This decision is not relevant.
They are ped pole lights, and so hopefully that's lowering the lighting elevation.
Right.
So,
but these are still they're
still high.
They're tall. Yeah.
So the light fixture itself is approximately 11.5 to 12 feet on look.
I think the, you know, the one on the right, it seems, is that a newer design, the one on the right?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it looks clean. It's kind of minimalist. Looks functional. And it also sounds like it's cheaper. It has like less metal and stuff going on with it, right? Like the suspension aspect. So I would support that for kind of practical, functional reasons, but I don't have a lot of strong feelings on it.
Yeah, also don't have a lot of strong feelings. The one on the left is pretty, but the one on the right is, you know, just as functional and saves some money there. It's fine. With that, I'm comfortable. Oh, yeah.
Do we have any motions?
Yeah, I'm comfortable moving this to an entire design recommendation to City Council with the one on the right, the light pole on the right.
I'll second.
Okay. Member David Moore?
Aye.
And Chair Mathis-Tolan?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Excellent. So that's our action items. I'm mindful of the time. It's 5:54.
Are there any urgent items that are, I'm wondering, is there anything that can be continued? I was hoping to be done by 6.
Sure.
So how long can you guys do sea level rise?
Less than 15
minutes. I gave it short thrift, yeah. Right?
I think that's naturally what it is.
Robin to Island.
Or I guess I'm just wondering, is there a decision, is there like a time critical decision aspect? Like, are the seas rising?
the reason for the timing is that a number of other projects have been kicked off. We just wanted to make you aware of those. There's nothing, this will not invite a lengthy discussion today or in the future, but it might put it in front of constituents getting questions about those other efforts that have now kicked off. But
Hopefully the CT is March. I'm just wondering if we were the
double check real quick. So we have Ashby bike pedestrian bridge, which, you know, the latest on that might get pushed actually. So that if that gets pushed, so that was a 30-minute item. Yeah. So if that gets pushed, we have wide open, more open. But we do have the ATP update coming from the planning department. That's a large item. That's a 45-minute hour discussion item.
Okay. Is that in March?
In March, yeah.
Don't have the...
In a continuation of the speed limits.
March. And we have the loop and the
quick build. That's tentative. It's between March and April, actually. Right. So I think we could move those to April and have room for speed level rise.
I'm happy to scrum, but if we have to go, I think we can. Yeah. We have a lot of material already in the staff report. Sorry, I'm going to make you come again, but
if it's okay, I would.
Move. Don't want anyone to get in trouble. Let's move 6.1 to another meeting, and then 6.2, 6.3. Maybe I can just ask staff if there's anything especially timely to discuss.
Signals on Hollis as of today. Go to 59th and Hollis. There's a new bike light installed there. Did it get turned off today?
It didn't look like it.
Okay, it will get wired up and turned on tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll hold off. But you get detected, and we'll get a little blue light that said, "Hey, you're being detected by the camera."
Where is that? Where would I look?
Right to your, like, go in the bike box, look to your right.
Maybe if you have any questions on the capital projects, we can email those to the
future. Any public comment just while we're here?
No public comment was for any of these. Yeah.
All right.
Happy to report 97 of the 100 trees have been planted in the marina. We are on the phase of breaking and pouring concrete of the trees on the east side of the freeway, which will be happening over the next few weeks. They're here.
Little speed humps on the greenway.
They're on the dog. Yeah,
they look great. All right. Any future agenda items?
The speed humps, they go alongside with they're like next to the speed, the plastic ones, right? And then do the plastic ones stay there?
Yeah, ones are going to stay there. We're going to try that out for a little bit, see how that works. Yeah.
They're actually better than the asphalt because they're sharper, right? The asphalt is a smoother transition, which doesn't really slow people down as much. So just some feedback.
Get a double, triple hump.
Sure. The taller, the better.
Then more bollards are coming in. So there's a little bit of chicaning people are doing right now in the temporary. So we hope with bollards and everything.
Are we still talking to Berkeley about their segment?
Yes.
We are. Yep.
Let us know if there's anything we can do to
it. I wrote a letter as mayor to their mayor. So yeah. I'm hoping, I hope that was enough, but maybe she forgot.
Excellent. Anything
else? Quick future agenda item. Discussion on the marina benches, materials of construction. Just a discussion.
Yeah. That sounds like we're pretty full up the next couple of times. So close future agenda items. Any announcements, member comments?
None from me.
All right. That I'll adjourn. It is 5:59.
Thanks so much for everyone.
Yes, appreciate it. Yeah. That'll be responsible.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.